All right. So you guys doing all right this morning?
Yes.
Yeah? This is the last week in an 11-week course, 10-week course.
Yep.
Sorry. Just to do a little bit of an introduction, my name's David Green. As he already said, I'm the high school youth pastor. Just a little bit more information. I'm married to an amazing woman who also works in high school ministry. Her name is Katie Green. We have one child who is 9.5 months old, and she's cute and squishy, and I love her. We just went on the high school group just went on a mission trip to Mexico this last week, so it was my first time away from her for more than a day or so, and that was pretty interesting. We live in Franklin and are right smack in the middle of a fixer-upper, which is fun and also feels like a mistake sometimes. I think that's it. Me and Rick are feel like related at this point. We were both heavily involved in the Jolly project. If you heard that terminology thrown around here at Grace, it's a project that that Rick really spearheaded in southern Sudan. We went over there and built some school buildings and a clinic and a church, and we got to stay in a mud hut together on more than one occasion, which was interesting. And Rick is an amazing guy, so it's fun to get to come and do this class with him. So I'll let you.
All right, thank you. So my background is I've been at Grace about 10 years, and I was a new believer at about 27, 28, 29, something like that, and I probably spent the next 25 years trying to figure out what does that mean in America. My wife and I went to a couple of different churches along the way, and we stayed at one for quite a while, and it was a good season of our life at that point, but it really wasn't until we got here that I realized what life was meant for a believing man. And I think a lot of that just goes to Steve Berger, his teaching being as great as it is and getting me closer. And I figured, I got to take this serious. This is not something that I wanted to do half-heartedly. If I was going to believe in it, I was going to do it all the way. And when I came to this church for the very first time, I realized that this was home. And it has proven to be that over the last 10 years. I've been married for almost 38 years. I've got three kids that are all in the medical field, thank goodness, because I might need that. And they're all grown and gone. And my wife, Kathy, you may know her or see her. She's a greeter in the second service. I used to work at Vanderbilt, and yes, there were still Bible-believing people at Vanderbilt. Is that where it is? Okay. And I still kind of do the South Sudan ministry. I'm also involved in facilitating Grace's response to natural disasters. And so if you all are interested in that, we have a partner now. It's Hope Force International, and we... Basically, they kind of set it all up, and they have all the logistics taken care of, and what we do is we provide bodies. And we've done some work down in Houston and Baton Rouge this past year and South Carolina after some of those storms. And, it's not one of those things where you can't wait for that next trip because you know that somebody's hurting, somebody's been in trouble. So thank goodness right now at this point we haven't had anything. But in the event that you are, if that's something that you have a passion for, then we can talk about that and get you on a list of people to help in that area. I think that's enough. All right. What we've done is we've taken your section on God's commission and God's gospel, and David and I have kind of tag-teaming on that one. And so we're going to go through them, help you fill in the blanks, and then I think afterwards you all will be breaking up into your small groups and discussing that a little bit more. So with that, I think you get the first one.
This feels silly holding this. All right. So sharing your faith is a matter of obedience. Obedience.
What page are we on, please?
39. He was ready.
That's all right. I'll toss you.
So sharing your faith is a matter of
obedience. Our verse there, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is something that is at the core and at the heart of our church and our leadership here, is that the idea that sharing your faith is not reserved for pastors or elders or the elite Christians or the perfect Christians, whatever that is, that it's something that we're all called to do. This is a mentality that I personally fought for a long time and thought I'm not good enough to share my faith, or I don't know how I would do that. I'd probably look dumb or sound stupid. And I had all these reasons behind it that I thought justified me not sharing my faith, but I was really just being disobedient. And so any of us who are followers of Jesus and claim to be believers in Jesus, it's just an act of obedience to share our faith at the end of the day.
Number two is sharing your faith is a matter of being ready. And our scripture basically says, always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. And that kind of ties in, I just kind of want to deal with two and three together. Sharing your faith is a matter of being available. And it says basically that the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. You know, that ready and available can kind of like run into each other. So, you know, ready just means anticipating that you're going to be given opportunities that God gives you. It's going to be your neighbor. It's going to be a family member. Going to be going across the world, any of those things. And knowing what we know, knowing that we have a reason for our faith, is something that we can communicate to a person who is hurting or in a situation or in a dark spot of their life. And the available piece is, just because I know that, it doesn't mean that I'm willing to dive into someone's stuff. We all know that when you get involved in someone's life, whether it's a relational issue or a substance abuse issue or just lost, totally lost, that when you get into it, it can get messy, you know, into their stuff. And so a lot of people kind of go, whoa, you know, I'm not going to dive into that. That's a little bit too deep for me. But if we can put ourselves in that place, I think we realize that, yes, it's messy and how they got into it, who knows, but you do have a salve that you can give them, and that's just your experience with Christ and what he's done for you in your life. So the ready and available is kind of go hand in hand, knowing what you know, but also anticipating and being ready to dive into someone else's stuff when they need it. Number four is sharing your faith is a matter of prayer. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. My father passed away last year at almost 89. Greatest generation guy, fought at Iwo Jima, Okinawa, survived all of that. He was like, you know, his mom had to sign for him. He was like 16 or 17 when he went in. So to see all of that at that age and then come out of it, he believed what he believed, Mason, Shriner, all that stuff. And I always prayed for him when I realized that's the only thing I could do, because he was one of those tough as nails guys that when you started talking about faith, it was, you know, we don't talk about two things here. We don't talk about religion and we don't talk about politics. I'm thinking, you know, that's my father. If you can't talk about that with your father, then, you know, something was askew in his life. And obviously with that experience he had younger, I can understand that. But anyway, I prayed for him all the way to the end. I never heard him profess Jesus, but I know that my prayers did not go for naught. I know that God's going to be faithful to that. And so if you've got family or friends or whomever in your life, start praying for them, and God will do something. He'll do a mighty work with that. And I think the other thing too is sometimes just like being ready. When you do find someone who is looking to you for a little bit of a helping hand, it's praying that God will give you the wisdom that you can impart to them that will help them in their current situation. Not our words, but His words.
Thank you. Number five, sharing your faith is a matter of being compassionate. So I'm going to try not to talk about high school ministry too much, but it's something I'm definitely passionate about. And this one, immediately my brain goes to high schoolers and one of the mentalities or perspectives that we are constantly up against, and it's not limited to high schoolers. You guys will probably relate to having encountered this in some capacity in your life, but it's this idea that we should go out and love people and show people Jesus with our actions and not be so preachy. And so it's a very action-oriented gospel, and that sounds kind of nice, you know, like, okay, I can just be good and work hard and all that, and I don't have to talk about Jesus because that's terrifying sometimes, right? And the kids can, the high school students specifically, adopt this perspective on the gospel and really trying to bring them in on the reality that that's not compassionate at all, and that you can serve people and work and go into the mission field even and meet a lot of very practical needs without ever meeting their most important or most important need. And so if we look at what we're actually doing at the end of the day, we're recognizing if I believe what I believe and it's true, then you're on a path that leads to death. And the most compassionate thing to do would be to share the gospel. And so this is, again, something that we try to get at in our high school students is showing them that actually sharing your faith is very compassionate. It might not be met with open arms or a lot of, just open minds, but it is the most compassionate action at the end of the day. And then sharing your faith.
Can I jump in real quick?
Oh, of course.
Do you want to hold that? No. just to kind of piggyback on that, you know, we talked about being ready and available. David, at 24, spent about 5 months or so in South Sudan digging holes from footers for buildings along with another young man. And, you know, he made himself available. He made himself ready for all of that. And we did. We built some buildings, and we got some services going for these people. This is like 1000 AD when you go to South Sudan. And so that we didn't stop at that. We actually used that as a way to then be able to share the gospel. You did some training with John, who was later killed by a rival tribe. He was our primary school headmaster. But what we did, it opened some doors for us so that we could help them not just feed their tummy today, but their spirit forever. And one of the greatest things I think out of it, there's a lot of stories, but the main thing is that probably at this point in time, I would say that at least 1,000 villagers have come to know the Lord since we went there. And who knows on this side of heaven, you know, how that multiplied or, you know, exponentially or not. So anyway, I just kind of wanted to tell that story because you don't know what you're doing at the time sometimes. And you're just out there and putting it in. But if we don't remember that there is a spiritual component to all of this, feeding them for one day, that's one thing. But feeding them for life, spiritually, that's what we're really about.
Thank you. All right. So number six there, sharing your faith is a matter of being bold. It's a matter of being bold about. I think two-thirds of the way down that paragraph there, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And this is something that speaks very near and dear to my heart. I like to be clear, I'm not the most gifted public speaker, but I wish that I had video of me in college when I was speaking publicly and giving presentations, and I was the guy that made everybody uncomfortable in the room because of how uncomfortable he was up there reading note cards and sweating a lot, and it was just, it was bad. It was like something out of a movie. And so now I speak publicly in these kind of settings in high school ministry on a regular basis. And I can speak with boldness, I can speak with confidence, and that little bit of scripture I just read there, it's not because I have learned to suppress how I feel and suppress the nerves and just like, you know, conjure up confidence and move forward. It's because I'm with Jesus and he's with me and we can find boldness in that. And I always like to distinguish between the two types to just kind of make yourself be confident. It doesn't even compute in my brain. I don't know if there are people like that, but my confidence, my boldness comes from being with Jesus and inviting him into everything that I do. And another, just to continue to talk about high school ministry, it's another thing that we get to invite the kids into. So one of the things that I love to do, I'm a discipleship freak. I love it. I love to just take advantage of opportunities in every direction that we can. And so we invite these students to come and lead in our class, which is called discipleship class on Sundays. And so they get to step into leadership and learn things that they wouldn't normally learn until they are now leading. And one of them is they find that they lack that boldness. And so we can kind of experientially teach them that truth, that it's not about you being confident in your ability to speak or confident in all the things that you know and all that, but being bold in who Jesus is and his truth and standing firm in front of your peers and then sharing that. And so watching kids through experience after experience grow in that. And so you have a high school student who can stand in front of their peers and talk about Jesus with boldness. That, I will do that every time. It's amazing. So it's a really fun thing to watch these kids grow in this just through sharing their faith boldly.
It's funny because you described the way I was prior to being a believer, is that all that confidence that you exude, it's just all built, it's all made up. You just, you know, you're supposed to, you know, exude that, and it doesn't come from anywhere. There's no root, there's no source to it. And I'm kind of with you. After, you know, some amount of time, that finally took hold and that compass got set, and for the right reason, and had a root to it that was deep enough that can then allow you to be bold, you know, that you never probably could have done before, that you were just kind of like faking beforehand.
I couldn't even fake it. I don't know how.
I could fake it pretty good. And this number 7 kind of goes along with it. Sharing your faith is a matter of being diligent. And when we say diligent, we kind of mean understanding what you know and why you know it. And we can be ready and we can be available and we can be bold. But to get that boldness we were just talking about, we got to know what we believe and why we believe it. And so we have a church. We have teaching going on in this church that is probably pretty much unparalleled with most other areas around here. I mean, I know that there's a lot of great churches out here, and a lot of them are teaching the truth, but the teaching that we're getting is to help equip us to be passionate servants of Jesus Christ. And that itself, by having that and absorbing that, when you know that, when you know in your knower, when you know that, then that's what allows you to feel confident, and you can be bold with that. And I'm sure I'm just kind of probably preaching to the choir in here about that. But we have so many programs at this church to help equip us all to be more passionate servants and to know what we know. We also have programs that if you've had wheels come off the bicycle, and, you know, our culture is really good at ruining the lives of people, to help you get back up, to get back on that bike again and start riding. So either way, whether it's just purely for spiritual education, or if it's for renewal and healing and that, there are all types of programs here for that. And a lot of people, Most of the people who are teaching those have already gone through all that, so that puts them in a unique position to understand, you know, what people are going through. All right, sorry, I'm gonna get off on that one. Number eight, sharing your faith is a matter of asking simple questions. I kind of use, this movie's getting a little old, but I kind of use this analogy, is that in the movie War Room, it's been a while. I don't know if any of you have seen it before. If you haven't, it's a good one to watch. But the older sage woman, Clara, in that movie, is talking to the younger woman, Priscilla, who's going through all kinds of issues because her husband's going through all kinds of issues. And she sits down at the table with her, and she starts asking questions. What's going on? What's it doing to you? Blah, blah, blah. And it's kind of hard to do that. You know, you're getting into somebody else's stuff, but you can discern whether a person is, you know, where they are. If they're at the lowest of their lows and their darkest moments, it's really pretty easy to pull that out. And then there's others that you ask a question, like my dad, and it's, you know, there's the stone wall. It's none of your business. Okay, well, you figure it out, you know, after that question's asked, and you move on. You shake off the dust off your sandals and move on. And so I guess the main point here is that to really minister to someone, to share the word or your experiences with someone who is going through a tough time, you just got to know where they are spiritually. You know, are they believers? Are they not believers? So asking questions can help in that.
That's one of my favorite methods of Jesus. And if you just watch him in scripture and the way that he asks questions that just leave people dumbfounded, like, wow. And, you know, they can't even answer the questions sometimes because they're just overwhelmed with what they just learned about themselves. And so I train our small group leaders in high school. I don't know if you guys know, but I do high school ministry. Just kidding. So they will kind of hand them some tools, and they'll go implement them, and they'll come back and go, okay, so how do I ask better questions? And I always tell them the first step is stop trying to ask good questions and become genuinely interested in the person, because most people don't have a problem asking good questions when it's not their objective. But if I just want to get to know Rick, it's like I'm a professional question asker. But if I want to be a really good question asker, it's like, what do you think is in a core of a planet? And it's like, what is that thing that I just said? And so you just get really weird when you try to do something. When you try to do something that's not rooted in genuine relationship and all that. So it's a fun thing to pass off to our leaders and watch them grow in that. Sharing your faith, number nine, is a matter of sharing God's truth. It's an important connection to make for sure. Our truth is without a doubt under attack in our country, and like I've never seen before. It's pretty wild to see, just the way that truth is under assault. I don't know if you guys have seen the video of the guy on a college campus who is a 5'9" white gentleman, and he can't get anyone to tell him that he's not a 6'6" Chinese woman. So he just goes one step at a time and says, what if I told you that I'm a woman? And they go, okay, that's all right. That's whatever you choose to believe. What if I said I was a Chinese woman? They go, yeah, that's tough, but yeah, okay. If that's what you believe about yourself, then it must be true. What if I said that I was a 6-foot tall Chinese woman? Okay, yeah, I mean, I would... You can feel them getting a little confused, but they ultimately all say that's totally fine. And so it's this really eye-opening example of how truth is completely under assault in our country and really around the world. But to make the connection that sharing our faith and God's truth are connected, so that we, you know, can share boldly, but know at the end of the day, this isn't just what I believe and it's true for me, but whatever's true for you would be a totally inappropriate way to share our faith. But to stand firm and knowing that, well, I'm going to tell you what I believe, but I'm going to also speak about it as though it's true, because it is. And I think our country, our people around us need that more than ever, for sure.
What a great segue. Number 10 is sharing your faith is a matter of proclaiming God's love for people. As David said, you know, the polarization of our country is probably greater than it's ever been in my lifetime. And it's just real sad to see that all that's happening right now, there's no way that we can have civil dialogue or discourse anymore. People have forgotten how to do that. So all we do is we yell at each other, we fight, and it's really ugly, and I hope that it doesn't end up even more violent than that. But as Paul did when he was asked about things like slavery or whatever, he wouldn't get into, well, I'm for or against it. I need you to focus on this is the message of Jesus Christ for your eternal life. And so sometimes we can get too deep into the politics of our society. You know, a lot of people are hooked on talk radio that does nothing to really help matters much, whether it's true or not true, on whatever side it is. Everybody's got a perception on it. Ultimately, God is love, and that's what we are to exhibit to all of those who come in our path, whether we agree with them or not agree with them. It's really hard to headbutt people into the kingdom by arguing with them and to draw them close to you. And so one of the things that I've always had a hard time with, because, you know, when you talk about gifts, you know, I think I have certain gifts that I've been given, and then my love gift is, you know, more like a particle, and it's grown, but it's something that I've had to really work on, especially for those who don't agree, you know, and have their own truth that they're the 6-foot Chinese woman, you know, and all. So what I try to do is, my prayer is always, you know, God, would you help me love them the way you love them? And if I can do that, then I have a chance at treating them in a way, in a manner that maybe doesn't, I'm not gonna, you know, jeopardize or compromise my spiritual truths that I want to speak to them, but I, you know, just yelling and screaming doesn't draw anyone to you. And that's what my prayer is, that I can draw people to me to talk with them on subjects that we don't agree on. But ultimately, the real subject is, where are you spiritually? And that's what matters. And that's what Peter thought mattered, and try not to get caught up in all the webs of tricks that they were trying to throw at him.
That's good. Number 11, sharing your faith is a matter of explaining how one can be saved. I remember when I think I was in middle school, maybe elementary, I don't, somewhere in that age bracket, and I had received Jesus as my Savior, and mostly at that point in my life, it was, I had my ticket to heaven, and I had a friend, and we were talking about heaven and hell one day, and I was telling him the things that I knew that probably weren't true looking back on it, but and he's like, man, hell does not sound cool. I don't want to go there. And I was like, well, you don't have to. Like, you can go to heaven. And he's like, really? You know, like, anybody can go? I was like, yeah, you just pray this prayer. And he's like, sign me up for heaven. I'm ready. And all my experience at that point in my life, I had been raised in a church, a non-denominational, very charismatic church. Went to a private Christian school that was affiliated with Baptist church, and had a very wide range of experience, but one thing I had experienced over and over and over again was, bow your head, close your eyes, does anybody want to receive Jesus as their Savior, raise their hand, come forward, pray for it, and it was, you know, it was the same thing, and I'm not knocking, you know, altar calls and all that, but that was what I had seen. And so when he was like, well, I want to go to heaven, I was like, sweet, come on. And I took him over to the closest pastor I could find, and I said, do that thing that you do. With the prayer and the, you know, bowing. And so I didn't know I had a role in that. I didn't know as a believer in Jesus that I might find myself face to face with somebody who wanted to pray and receive Jesus. And I had no idea how that worked. I thought it was the responsibility of the guy with the microphone on stage at the end of services. And so I had, you know, I think we all have to do this, but I had to come to terms with, man, what does it look like when that moment presents itself? Am I going to be equipped to walk somebody through that prayer and what it, you know, what does my role look like so that I'm not blindsided, and preparing in advance to be able to explain to somebody what that looks like is really, really important, and it's not just for the pastors on Sunday. And then lastly, I think, right? Is that the last one? Number 12 there, sharing your faith is a matter of being humble and honest. And Rick was just kind of touching on this a little bit, walking in humility and as we're sharing our faith, it's not a contest, it's not a shouting match. It's walking as somebody who is a humble follower of Jesus and being honest in the things that you know and the things that you do not know. And there is no expectation, as far as I have found in Scripture, that once you receive Jesus as your Savior, everyone expects you to know everything about Scripture. But some of us live as though that is the expectation. And so we don't even engage in conversations because we don't feel like we have enough answers. I had a student come up to me last week, I think it was, or the week before, and she's got a job. One of her first times she's had a job in her life, and she's working with this guy who's not a believer and has picked up on some of, you know, the things that she's doing and started asking questions. And she said, he's starting to ask like these really crazy questions I don't know the answers to. And I think he's asking me about Revelation. And I was like, oh boy, what did you say? And she goes, I just told him, I don't know. And Revelation has always kind of freaked me out, but I can look into that for you. And I was like, perfect. That's perfect. That's exactly what you wanted to do. And she's like, why? And I was like, because it's you. Like that, it's a honest answer. And so one of the most important things that stays intact when you are honest is people see that you are a human. And so often we feel the pressure to present ourselves as, you know, like these Christian robots or something, and we become unrelatable, and we drive people away from the faith. So just being honest with what you know, what you don't know, and who you are, and all that stuff is really, really important when sharing your faith. So,
I know that kind of completes the questions, but in the supplemental material, I just wanted to just really touch on this briefly. Starting at number 6, the gospel brings salvation. That kind of starts this whole section of the Asian words, you know, and it, sometimes we can get the meaning of these words can get lost in all of that. So, you know, starting with number 6, we know that the gospel brings salvation, which just means we've been whole or made forgiven, or we've been forgiven. And then number 7, the gospel brings sanctification. Again, another multi-syllable word that we just sometimes get lost in all of that. And it's really just to be made holy in God's sight. I mean, think about it, to be made holy in God's sight. And sometimes we lose track of that. Number 8, the gospel brings justification. Just to be declared innocent, blameless, no matter what we've done. And then number 9 brings reconciliation, which most of us condone, or atonement, you know, to be brought fully into friendship with God, to be brought into friendship with God. And I think that's where a lot of folks get lost, is that it wasn't just a one-way relationship that God's the master and I'm the slave. It's friendship, two ways. And that's that personal relationship that Jesus has shown us that we can have with God, by being a man, by just being a guy, a man, not a guy. But, you know. So really, you know, in a summary, it's just like, you know, you are holy saints who have been forgiven, who are innocent, and you're a friend of God's. And if you haven't claimed that, I would encourage you to do that, because it's a pretty amazing thing.